Hello, my name is Maurice Washington. I want to welcome everybody to another episode of Executive Talk. Those who are watching live or those that will be watching our show later, appreciate you guys being here. Just wanted to give everybody an update. Just in case you want to have an opportunity to check out more of our programs, which is highly recommended, of course, go ahead and click on the QR code. And this QR code will take you to our online station. And then that way you can look at some of the shows and or you can go ahead and download the app on the iPhone now, or you can download the app on your Android phone. So again, please feel free to join in and keep up to date on everything that we've been talking about. In today's show, we are talking about, we are in part four of our series, Have You Considered the Cost? For me, this series so far has been very enlightening, just like any other series that I've done so far. I learned just as much from these series as you may. So I want to thank you guys for, again, being interested in joining it and really embracing what's being said, because not everything that I say within Executive Talk, within our shows that we talk about, is easy to digest. It's going to hit you personally, and it's going to make you think. It's going to make you reflect. But again, that's what the Bible is for, to help us reflect, to help us come on the other side of the fence on what we're looking for, which is peace, joy, and happiness in that ultimately relationship with the Lord and the heavenly direction. So let's go ahead and get into this and pick up where we left off. And last time, in our last show, security takes over the office, takes control over the office. Money eventually takes control over the office and is glorified. Now, I want to go ahead and have everybody that's watching, and again, those that are listening, we got a picture of money up here. What does that mean to you? How is it showing up in the office space? How does it show up to you personally? This is an extremely huge factor that we're talking about right here. When it comes to money, it takes over everything. It has ruined marriages time in and time out. It's continuing on that platform and on that pattern. It's ruined businesses. It's been on that pattern. It's ruined employee-employer relationships. It's ruined it. Because of the glorification of money, it has really taken over a lot of stuff, and what we are experiencing with the office space is pain. It is the cost that we're talking about. The cost of bad relationships and the cost of glorifying anything except for God is pain. That is the nature and a lot of what the Bible is discussing in our day-to-day lives. So we talk about the culture wars, and we talk about everything that's going on within the office space that's not healthy, that you're to the point where you don't want to go into the office space. It's because ultimately money has been glorified. There's a battle for it. People's perspective when it comes to money is so well-versed. Meaning if you have an office space of five different people, I can guarantee you money looks different to everybody within this office, within that office space. Here's one thing that we can guarantee. Everybody wants it. How much of it, how the frequency of it, and so on and so forth is completely different. What issues we have around with it, how we grew up with the understanding of money comes into this culture. And the worst thing about that understanding coming into a culture is not everybody understands what their problem is. They don't understand what they're coming to the table with. All they know is that they want more money. And with that being said, we have more problems. And again, typically money is glorified in every last way, shape, or form. And so when we think about how things start to show up in the office space with these relationships, that's where the brokenness starts to increase. So now I want to take us to the scripture right here, because it's extremely important in James. And if anybody has read the Bible as much as I have, James is not one of those chapters where it's really glorious to read. He really hits home. So, but nonetheless, it's not about the glory is. You get to learn something. We get to change. And so that's the glory part. So we're just going to take it in the chin. So in James 4, 1 through 3, it says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you did not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on things on what you get on your pleasures. So the way that we're approaching money, and this is what we're talking about as far as that glorification of money. This is what happens for folks. This is why we have so much pain. This is why the office space barely functions. This is why marriages barely function. Because of that coveting, because of those quarrels, because of those battles. And part of that glorification comes with those battles. It's right here in James 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill and you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. See how this stuff never goes away? This is a personality type. This is an emotional issue. This is a spiritual issue. This is why this is so important. This is why this glorification of money is dividing the office space, is dividing, most importantly, people. The office space is nothing but a creation. It's the smallest and the lowest common denominator of this issue. It's a gathering place of individuals. And so from that perspective, that's why a lot of people put the emphasis on office space, but it's really the culture that God is looking at. Have you considered the cost of your glorification of money, Mr. Employer, Mrs. Employer, Mrs. or Mr. Employee? Have you really considered the cost on how you're acting and how the glorification of money is showing up in somebody else's office? How you're showing up for the employees that are willing to work for you? You're showing up differently because of the glorification of money. So let's look at this scripture here. We're going to take it to Romans 8:7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Now, why is that important? Why is that important? Cannot submit to God's law, or nor can it do so. Now, in this scripture, we are learning this hostility. We are learning that there's a hostility that comes with the flesh. And most importantly, a lot of things are actually hostile to God. If you're willing to show this hostility towards God, do you think any human being is exempt from feeling your hostility that you have? A person's hostility comes first and foremost from God. They have a hostile relationship with God first and foremost. That's one thing that you can guarantee in this life. If your wife is hostile, she has a hostile relationship with God, period. If your husband is hostile, he has a hostile relationship with God. If your boss is hostile, they have a hostile relationship with God. If your employees are hostile, they have a hostile relationship with God. Now, everybody, when you say, I'm not hostile, people typically are not going to say, I'm not hostile. I'm always the victim. That's how we tend to look at life, is that we're always the victim and never the one actually in putting any kind of, energy into the atmosphere. Our spirit and everything, it has to do with us as well. We are not exempt, people. And that's one of the major issues. That's part of the mischaracterization of mankind, is that we have become professionals, experts at becoming the victim, but never the one that's actually causing the issues. You're the person. I'm talking to you directly right now. And this is where executive talk gets hardcore. I'm talking to you directly. If your relationship is severed with God, there's hostility within other people. The hostility comes from a level of protection to ensure people don't understand that you have this issue. It's a protection. It's a protection mechanism that the enemy has created within you. That is how that works. Because again, where is the mind governed by? So now, Maurice, where is that? Where does the mind govern by? If a mind is governed by the flesh, it is hostile to God. Why does the enemy want you to have a hostile relationship with God? Because as long as you're severed with God, you're in relationship with Him. That's how that balance works. You will have a relationship with one or the other party either God or the enemy. Period, end of story. Nobody's exempt from how this pattern works and how God's Bible works. But again, you can be rest assured that somebody's hostility within them that comes from them rages from their lack of a relationship with God. That means as well, when we talk about the show title, Have You Considered the Cost? That person is not even considering the cost on how they're treating you. If that person has a worship of a weird worship of money, which is very possible, which is none of us are exempt. We all have our issues with it. Understand the rules of money, the law in which you're, whatever you're glorifying, doesn't require you to not be hostile. It just requires you to have. And there is no requirement of how much. There's a hostility that comes with it. And again, so again, whatever you glorify, you must obey those laws and what you glorify. That's how that works. So now we see in 1 John 4:20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Why is this so major? This has a huge implication as far as relationships are concerned within the culture of your office. There is times, and I know everybody has done this, I included when I used to work for somebody. I come back, I cannot stand them. They don't know what they're doing. I wish they would just go away. I can't wait for them to leave for the week. I hope they go on a trip for a month. I can't wait until busy season so I don't have to really interact with them. I can just, you know, do my thing and they can do their thing. And all is fine. Well, that hatred starts to develop fairly soon. Because remember, there's a honeymoon phase to this relationship. Everybody comes in happy with each other. Everybody's excited to be working with each other because both have the same quest. They have the same mindset. But again, after a year or so, now you start to see you develop a relationship with them in the sense of within the office. Now you know them a lot better than what you did when you first started. So obviously the dynamics have changed, but the relationship in which this is set up to be has remained the same, which is you are the employer, you are the employee. So there's a relationship dynamic that has to exist. And so again, what happens typically in relationships, we all get puffed up in our own how good we are, right? It's always somebody else's fault. We don't think about what we might bring to the table, some of the shady things we do while we're in the work, when we're working at somebody else's job that they hired us for. That is shade. That is dishonesty that shows up. And so when we, again, think about this hatred, this feeling of hating your employees that you hired on to work for you, to be part of your creation. When you have that, you start to hate that person. This stuff has got to stop. This is what causes cultures to divide. The enemy is the master of division. That is what he's looking for. This is, again, have you considered the cost in which you're paying by hating that employee, by hating your employer? Again, what is that cost? Let's bring up what that cost is one more time. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Okay? This is God. This is where God sees things. This is not about how you see it. This is how God sees things. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot. It says cannot love God whom they have not seen. So understand there's a relationship there. You can hate them, but you cannot say that you love God on the same breath. Remember that. So now, the treatment of each other is what God sees. It's extremely important. Remember, it's what God sees. The treatment of each other is huge. It carries a ton of weight. Don't think you got away with it, people. Have you considered the cost of how you're treating the individuals that are close with you? Have you considered it? It means everything. Now, service. I'm going to go ahead and bring us to more of a positive spin, for lack of better terms. Actually, all of this is positive. We just have to take the truth in totality and not compartmentalize it to what makes us feel good. But this is the part that should help us feel good, but it does require something of you. It's a part of the what God is looking for in us. And this is comes back to that word service. What does that word mean to you? When you think about that word service, I'm going to ask you one more time. What does that word mean to you? Now, service can all is interesting, because when you're hurt, when you're a victim, when you're still embedded in your sins, service is a very compartmentalized issue. There's only a certain direction and length in which you're willing to go when you're providing a service, when you're hurt, when you have feel pain, where you're still under shame, where you're still under your sinful nature. It only goes to a certain length to where you start to cut off, because you've been hurt before. Because when I did this, this is what ended up happening, right? We have length to which our service is going to be provided based on the circumstance. So again, that's why I asked that question. That's why I'm coming to you directly in your iPhone, directly in your Android, directly online. What does service really mean to you? This is a big deal. This is not a small potatoes whatsoever. You are a lot of people. You yourself, you are a service. You are a product. You are a service. Did you know that? Have you ever looked at it from that perspective? We're going to get into that here a little bit deeper here as we go down the path. But let me take you to a scripture here. In Luke 14:27, it says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Now, why would I bring that up in the midst of service? And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is a huge, big deal. And this is a huge deal to God, in the sense of whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is a part of the breaking up with yourself. In order to provide excellent service, there has to be a sacrifice of self. And that sacrifice, so part of that first sacrifice is that you have to follow him. That one of the very first time you'll learn what service looks like is when you follow God, when you follow Jesus. That I'm telling you, it's a completely different experience. Let me tell you. Look in my eyes if you're watching. Let me tell you, it's a completely different experience. It's worth it, but it's completely different. So your definition of service is without repentance, without actually following God, is a different perspective. You cannot be his disciple. He's looking for those who are willing to sacrifice, who are looking to serve. This is a part of that relationship rekindling that we're talking about. It actually drops down that hostility that we talked about earlier on in those scriptures. So then let's go ahead and bring this up. When you pay the cost of repentance, your reward is the reconciliation of the relationship between you and God. This is extremely important. Why is this important? You know that that reconciliation that has not taken place between you and God, again, as we spoke about earlier, this is where it's resurfacing, is causing some hostility in you. It's some deep embedded pain that cannot be quenched through anything. Have you ever noticed those people that are super wealthy are still having drug addictions? They're still having issues finding out the purpose. They thought that was a pathway to happiness, but nothing is still there. This is what we're talking about right here. I'm going to go ahead and bring this back up to the screen because it's important. When you pay the cost of repentance, your reward is the reconciliation of the relationship between you and God. There's nothing better than to actually fill that relationship with you and your spirit, you and your creator. There's nothing better. You've done it before, because not everybody has, and some people still have not completely sold them or gave their lives over to God. Let's be very clear. And so in this process, to actually feel reconciled, to actually know that God exists, to know that's the missing piece, because that is your creator. That's why that peace cannot be filled through anything else except through him. And so that's that big gaping gap. Again, we talked about hostility earlier. Where does it come from? Because when people are operating with that gap, they're trying to fill something. It cannot be filled unless it's through him. So that reconciliation has a lot to do with your centered, you being centered. So I ask the question to you again, what does service mean to you? So we're going to bring this up here. When you pay the cost of repentance, you will be able to see again. When I bring up the statement of what does service mean to you, part of it is you can't really see anything. In the scriptures, because of disobedience, God, and this is in the scripture. It says, I have blinded them. Okay, next time I'll bring up some more of that scripture as to where it is. And so that way people that are searching can reference it. But I have blinded them. What did he mean by blinded? He had made sure that they cannot see his glory until they come back and obey him. So again, starting to pay the cost. And I'll go ahead and bring the statement up again so that way people can see it. When you pay the cost of repentance, and so part of this repentance that we're talking about, the reason why God is part of this is part of God's law as well. I don't know if people actually really knew that. It's not something you just, I'm going to repent from the weekend and not drink as much. I'm going to repent from going out as much as I do. No. That's your own level of repentance. This is different. When you pay the cost of repentance, you will be able to see again. Part of being able to see again is, number one, seeing God exists, having that relationship. God will not allow you. Remember when Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed, God's presence left them. God banished them. So remember on how this all works. You'll be able to start to see again. You'll have to see life through the right eyes. You'll understand what service starts to look like. This is why it's so important for repentance to take place first, so that way you can understand what service starts to look like. And once you start to understand what service looks like, you're starting to gain some knowledge, which is you start to understand the cost a little bit more. Full circle on this conversation. Have you considered the cost? Now you're starting to consider the cost. Once this relationship is there, absolutely everything changes with you. You realize that there is a God. You also recognize there always has been a God, and that he's seen you in every last circumstance of the decisions that you made. Now, he's going to reintroduce you to those decisions that you made and how lawless you've been without him and what your life has looked like. So now you start to understand something about repentance. Wow, I've been willing to pay one heck of a cost by living the way. Had I not did this, I sure as heck would have gone to hell. Let's just put it out there. That's about how deep this is. This is about how deep this relationship is. This is how deep repentance is. It actually shows you something that you have not seen before. It actually puts the fear of God in you that wasn't there before because you weren't considering the cost. Because again, the enemy will ensure that you don't see God. So then let's bring this up in Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit." Now, why is this baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Now, why is the forgiveness of your sins so important? We want to ensure that you understand that the forgiveness of your sins actually creates something in you. When you're thinking about some of the things that you're going through, walking around in your sinful nature is what you know, is what you act upon, is what you move through. And in this sinful nature, that's where part of that hostility starts to regurgitate within you. It just comes out. It becomes a natural state of being because you're still in your sinful nature. You have not received that forgiveness. You're still operating in guilt. And most importantly, you're still operating in shame. The enemy loves shame. That is his character. That is the character he will exude within God's children, God's creation. Because you will never be fatherless. you will be next to a fatherless entity, but the enemy is still will become your father, and he will guide you in his likeness. That's where the guidance comes from. So understand this, the forgiveness of your sins actually creates a pathway for that stop to walk in that shame. Because again, everybody wants forgiveness for things that they did. When you go and apologize, what are you asking for? Forgiveness of your sins on that person. You see there? You want that feeling. You want that feeling of what? Purity. Now, in that feeling of purity, where is that coming from? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that's what makes us so conflicted as people? We don't want to follow God, but we want to be seen as pure through the eyes of man, through the eyes of your husband, through the eyes of your wife, through the eyes of your employer and your employee, your kids. But guess what? We don't even want to do what God said in order to find out what holiness is. We have our own version of holiness. And in that version of it, it's called a form of righteousness. That's where we are stuck at in society. That's why we're all hypocrites. Now, what do I mean by that? We all want to be seen a way, but we don't want to walk in the way. That's hypocrisy, people. Holiness is dealt through the repentance of your sins and starting to walk with you in that reconciliation with God in Jesus Christ. We need to actually operate in that way. That's where holiness starts to be developed in us. That's why it's talking about being born again. So then let's go ahead and take this note here. Is when you step back into being led, you give God the authority to fight your battles for you. Now, a lot of this and a lot of what we learn within church and society, again, this is not fighting the church. It is what it's going to be, but it's also important for us to really understand exactly what we're hearing. When God fights his battles, first and foremost, is because he has a relationship with you now. You're being obedient to him. You're allowing yourself to be led. If you're not allowing yourself to be led, you're fighting your own battles. You're because of who's your God? You are. Remember that. You're fighting your battles. That causes disruption into your life. That creates a person that makes a hard heart. Because you have to constantly be out. You don't know what to protect yourself from. And so you overcompensate. But have you considered the cost of this lifestyle? If you started to, you'll understand God will take care of it. Once you start to consider the cost, you will understand God's role and how it plays out. Let me bring up this idea here. So when we talk about security takes control of the office, money eventually takes control of the office space and is glorified, that's one of the first things God will shut down from you. Now, he will always replace it. But he shuts down this feeling of the glorification that comes with money. If you want to think about where society is stuck at and where we are having our issues, it's because this money is being glorified in so many ways. And again, it has so many casualties. It has so many marriages and relationships and office space issues that is corrupted and broken because of this glorification. God needs to help you repent from this and draw you away to him, that he will be his provider. Once you're your own provider, remember, it's part of what we talked about in part 3. When you become your own provider, you glorify it. That's just how that works, because you're glorifying yourself. When we think about this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Why is this so important? Why am I bringing this up now? Doesn't sound like it fits. Well, it always fits. And here's why. Because that's the depth of level of service in which God provides. And we talked about, and that's why we talked about in our very first one, we always bring up Genesis, I believe it's 2:15, if I'm not mistaken. If I am, I apologize, but work with me on this. God created mankind in his own image, both male and female. You guys remember that scripture? Well, in that image, there's a sacrifice that comes with God's service. That's what God is providing for everything that he created, is a service. When we take away that service from him, which is we start to glorify himself, that's where the disruption of the relationship has been. When you start to repent and start to walk back to him, you're walking back in service. And so if you start to walk back in that type of service, you're also walking in sacrifice. That's the root of service. That's why it's so important to God. That's why this relationship in the culture starts to show up the way that it is in today's world, is because the level of sacrifice, remember, in your own eyes is about this far, which means it only goes to a certain extent for those that are just listening. It only goes to a certain extent. Now, again, if somebody has you going into a weird place, you're right. A certain extent should exist. But I'm talking about in the purified nature, it just goes to a certain extent. But in the purified nature, you understand the sacrifice it takes. You understand that your boss is sacrificing that money in order to, you know, provide for you as well. You understand that employees sacrificing some of their time to actually help you move your creation forward, Mr. or Mrs. Business Owner. You understand that. But without that understanding, remember, you start to glorify yourself. But again, sacrifice and service helps you understand how much is really truly happening for your day to day and what things really could look like had those people not been there. It takes the hate away from you. It takes that hostility out of you, that holiness. That's what it's for. So in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are important fruits. Why are these fruits so important to the office space? What do they do? How do they move it forward? Have you ever been in an office space and this is just around people. Have you ever been excited to see somebody? Why? Because you have experienced these things. And if you have a constant experience, and one thing that another thing that makes male and female alike is that we want to know what to expect when we deal with somebody. If the occasions that I run into you, meaning every single time I get to experience these types of fruits from your Holy Spirit, from your sacrifice, from how, don't you know I'm so excited to, I'll move the world for you. And you'll do the same for that person. Why? Because you feel good around them. Because they are giving, that you're feeling their sacrifice, you're feeling their service. This, it feels good, it feels peaceful, it feels joyous. People tend to take this for granted. And the reason why people say, I'm always getting taken for granted, was because naturally, because society is been out of shape as far as how we operate, well, we don't expect to see this. So we think there's something strange. We actually think something's going to happen to us because you are this way. No, this is God's Holy Spirit. This is that character in which we're walking in. And in that character, in that Holy Spirit, these are the fruits of that Spirit. See, what people try to do is try to get these fruits without a Holy Spirit. And so it's fake. It doesn't last long term. It's another little tidbit out here. So part of paying the cost of repentance is a spirit that gives these things naturally all the time. Why? Because now you have law in you. Now you have this understanding of how God is and how close he is and how omnipresent he is in your day-to-day experiences and everything that you have going on. This is so important. This is why the show is, again, is titled, Have You Considered the Cost? Because in considering the cost, once you have that consideration, everything starts to change. But you need that consideration within you in order to operate the way that you should. So we take this here. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is under Acts 20:35. There's a lot here, but the most important part of it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is that important? It is more blessed to give than receive. So now, are you blessed because you received? because you receive stuff from the Lord. Absolutely. Why does it say it's more blessed? Well, where's that more? Remember, what comes with service? What comes with giving? Sacrifice. So when you sacrifice for one another, it is more blessed. Now you start to see your office space more blessed, more peaceful, more loving, more connected, more mindful of each other. It's because once you start to operate in the sacrifice, and this comes from Ephesians 5, 6 through 9, if you look at that scripture, again, God is talking about the service and to what degree of service that you should provide to each other. And that way, in that service, that means that you are considering the cost. You are considering how you're treating others. And that's, again, where God wants you to be. The cost of service is sacrifice. The cost of service is sacrifice. That is the key to this show. That is the key to the cost. Have you considered the cost? Have you considered what it looks like to actually bring that sacrifice to the table and how it feels to you? And most importantly, how does it feel to others? That's the cost God wants us to look at in this show. When you glorify anything except for God, you're going to understand you're paying a cost, because you pay a cost to anything. I understand it's going the wrong direction. This direction here, when you repent, when you build that relationship with Him, it is taking you somewhere else and it's taking you to a higher level. But that sacrifice is what God is looking for. And most importantly, to wrap up the show, this is how service can exist with strangers. Remember, your employer, your employee, your husband, your wife, they're always strangers, because there's two different people, two different entities coming together to try to figure out how to become one. That's a tricky part about life. That's what people are not really honing in on, is that you're in a tricky component of life, because you're trying to figure out how in the heck are we going to do this together? And I don't know you, and you don't know me. Well, the service is the binding agreement. It's that sacrifice in which service strangers can coexist and still love each other without fighting. But again, without this coexisting, this is, you know, we do receive something different. I hope you receive some great information, insight on this show. God loves you. I love you. Let's do this together. Let's keep on going the path. I will have another show here, another series coming up here very soon. As a matter of fact, not even very soon, but next week. So be on the lookout for this. And again, download us on your iPhone or your Android, and we'll make sure we have some good, great content coming up, and we look forward to seeing you next time. But you know me, I have to get back to work. I'll see you later.